Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, and once again, I'm back. And this is the FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. Yes, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker. And we engage in conversation, as always, and give you information about what's going on in fantasy, sports, and politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220. Chat room is always open, always available for those who want to partake in the chat room. I'll be looking at it. Jeff will probably be looking at it, maybe not, whatever. But it's there for you, for your convenience, if you'd like to put a comment, a statement, or whatever in the chat room. Like I said, we're going to be talking about some fantasy sports and politics, mainly sports, maybe some politics in here, but we're going to start with the sports, and maybe the scrum that took place last night is a good place to start. But before I do that, let's bring in my co-host. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
All right. Like I said, down in South Beach, the Miami Heat, got beat by a rough and ready young Chicago Bull team and depleted Chicago Bull team. I don't know if it was rust. I don't know if it was just the Chicago. And I got to believe it's Chicago because they ended Miami streak. They play Miami very tough during the regular season. So I got to believe it's not an anomaly. Everyone thought that the Miami Heat would absolutely breeze through the playoffs and especially had expected no shot from Chicago since they were missing Kurt Heinrich and they were missing Luol Deng in the first game. And they thought, well, we're rested, and everybody, including odds makers, everybody was thinking, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park. I think, from what I understand, if you bet $100 on Chicago Bulls in the first game, you got to back $850. That's what the odds were that in the first game, the Chicago Bulls, and they got surprised, and a whole bunch of so-called experts got surprised. Up comes last night, the game two. Now, everyone thought, what's going to happen? Is Chicago going to sustain what they did in the first game? Or are they going to get beat by the Miami Heat? You're going to see the real Miami Heat. Well, the game was, I think I had 9 technical fouls. 2 of Chicago Bulls got thrown out. 51 fouls altogether. 1 flagrant foul. 60 free throws combined from both teams. Needless to say, I didn't watch the whole game, but the parts I did watch, Jeff, they looked like they were playing rugby, and they were in scrums. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was I know it's supposed to be a little tougher and a little more physical because of the playoffs, but what I saw last night was absolutely ridiculous. Your thoughts?
You know, I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights. I hate those kind of games. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I like good physical play, but come on. You know, you got to be a professional. And, you know, Joaquin Noah, who I like, he can't let himself get provoked. I mean,
right.
You know, he's been in the league a few years now. I like him. I think he's a good player. I mean, but he can't obviously let himself get manipulated. And, you know, my thing is if I want to see a fight, I'll watch boxing. Or if I want to see a plate fight, I'll watch wrestling. I hate, you know, pushing and shoving and nonsense in basketball. And I really hate it in baseball, you know, when you throw within 3 feet of one of these sissies and they charge the mound. And, you know, all those guys running out there, they don't
right.
want to hit anybody.
right.
It's a big joke. But I think all the series are now 1-1. But the thing is, you know, Miami looks so good and they're so well-rested and, you know, Chicago is obviously shorthanded. So, but, you know, this is, you know, no matter how much all that is true, Miami still has to go through the trouble of playing the games. And I'll tell you that the Knicks against the Pacers, the game was closer than it looked because the Knicks didn't really pull away till the fourth quarter. But that fourth quarter was unreal. I mean, Indiana couldn't buy a basket, and Carmelo was making more baskets than the Easter Bunny. And still nothing from J.R. Reed. He's still waiting to show up for these playoffs. Ridiculous. But, you know, everything's at 1-1. And, you know, I want to see Oklahoma and Memphis because that was such a great series last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that game last year that went into multiple overtimes. That was unreal. One of the best games I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miami and Chicago are going to renew their rivalry or whatever you want to call it on Friday night at 8 o'clock. That'll be in just in time when I get off the air. The Knicks play on Saturday. And like you said, the Knicks, both these sets of teams, they have Miami against Chicago, young Chicago team, depleted team. And then Chicago wins the first game. Miami comes back and blows Chicago away the second game. Deja vu all over again. I mean, I'm doing it in reverse, but the Knicks followed the same scenario. First, the Knicks got beat by the Indiana Pacers at home, just like the Heat did. And then the Knicks come back and wipe out the Indiana Pacers. They pulled away in the fourth quarter, whatever it was, they pulled away. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, Jeff, or it's just the way it just happened, but the similarities of what the Knicks did first, and then came back and blew them away in the second game, and the Miami Heat decided, you know what, we got beat in the first game, let's top what the Knicks did, and beat the Chicago Bulls by more than what the Knicks beat the Indiana Pacers, because I mean those two series are so similar, even though the series for the Pacers and the Knicks haven't gotten to the physical level that the Miami and Chicago has gotten yet, or if it's ever going to be. But these two sets of teams are following the same path, and I think the key point is what's going to happen in Game 3 of each of these series. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, looks like a lot of these series, there's going to be no sweeps, but sweeps are fairly uncommon in the NBA playoffs. But I guess if you're the road team splitting the first two games on the opponent's court, that's considered a victory. And, you know, this is the playoffs. This is what they get ready all year for. So, you know, it's what people want to see. I just don't like, you know, all these, you know, these antics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, okay, once in a while a guy loses his head, but when the whole game is just pushing and shoving and talking smack, and
yep.
It's just that's not basketball to me. I don't know what that is.
I have to totally agree with you, Jeff. I don't like that type of play. To me, that's not really real basketball. People say it's playoff basketball. I say it's BS. I didn't like it when they, Boston used to play it. I didn't like it when the Detroit Pistons used to play that type of basketball. But I think last night, Miami and Chicago, I think that game went over the overboard. I think they took it, and you can see with the 9 technical fouls, a flagrant foul, two guys getting thrown out, and 60 foul shots. We got a caller coming in here. Let me see who this is. I think I do know who this is. Caller from the 301. Welcome to the FSP Cruise Show. State your name. Tell us what you got to say. Hope it's good.
Happy Born Day, sir.
Happy
belated Born Day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. How you been?
Man, I've been good, man. These games been off the chain. They have been
okay.
Off the chain. I have been enjoying every one of these games. I caught a glimpse of what you were talking about. You were talking about the Chicago game.
The Chicago Miami Heat scrum looked like they were playing tackle football or something, much less NBA playoff basketball. Your thoughts
right.
on that, man?
Oh man, I thought the Heat came back and reestablished the order of things in that game, but I thought the officials, you know, I thought they braved it out, but they kind of lost it a little bit. But I think they did the best they could because it was a lot going on there. I mean, because you had Chicago really emotional or whatever, and they had, you know, they had pretty much come in, thought that they had set the tone by coming in there and really scrapping with the Heat, showing that they weren't intimidated. But the Heat came back, was like, oh, okay, that's nice, and then let us show you who, you know, who we are. And they came back and did. So, you know, it was a lot going on there. I could not be an official at that game. Is Jeff here?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
Jeff
I
is here. Jeff and I agree on that. We don't like the type of brand of basketball that was played last night. It was much too physical, and I just named off.
What?
Nine technical fouls, one flagrant foul.
Like that?
No. Absolutely, that's not basketball, man. That's not basketball. You got guys pushing guys into the stands to stop them from shooting. You got guys scrumming on the ground with Shane Battier and I think it was Joakim Noah scrumming on the ground. I mean, that's not basketball.
But yeah, from a purist standpoint, no, it wasn't basketball. But them dudes, like I told you, man, them dudes, they fighting for it. I am proud of the Bulls. You know what I'm saying? They fought for it. And what did I have been always hopping on every time I came on here was like, nobody fighting for what they want. The Bulls fighting for it. They fighting for it, but they don't have the talent to go up with the Heat, man. I, of course, you like to see shooting and, you know, picks and fundamental passing and, you know, dunks and stuff like that. I love all that. But what you saw was all about heart and reestablishing what was what. And you're going to get that. I am really, really proud of the Bulls. Really proud of them, because honestly, I thought the Heat was just going to come in there and stomp. But They got it brought to them, and then the Heat brought it back. So,
It's going to be a very interesting series. For the simple fact is, the Bulls don't back down from anybody, and that's testament to their head coach, Tom
Thibodeau.
He's a very tough-minded, and basically, I think he's probably an old-school type of coach. And those guys take on his personality when they step on the court.
What's up, Jeff? I'm sorry.
Hey,
I was trying to speak to you. Is Black here?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm also moving over to the trying to catch up on, because I haven't been around for about a week or so. So I want to catch up on these games. We were also talking about the Knicks and the Indiana Pacers, and the comparison or the same type of scenario that's following the Miami-Chicago series. It's followed the New York-Indiana series for so far. I mean, New York played before Miami and Chicago, and New York lost the first game, and then Miami and Chicago played. Miami lost the first game. And then New York played again a few days later. New York came back and blew out the Indiana Pacers. And yesterday, the Miami blew out the Chicago Bulls. Two teams, two different type of teams. I'm talking about the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. But they have two. They're going up against two feisty young teams that play good defense. And are sometimes erratic on offense. And so far it's 1-1 apiece with Miami, like I told Jeff, playing Friday, and then the Knicks playing Saturday. So these two games playing on the underdog team home court are going to be very interesting come tomorrow and Saturday. You got any thoughts on the Knicks and the Indiana Pacers?
Is Reggie Miller still playing? It's like, I'm just playing. Nah. Like I said, man, I like to see the fight, man. This is playoff basketball, man. Playoff basketball, you know. All the little pretty boys is out now. You know what I'm saying? You got the pretty Live City dudes. They up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Funning and gunning. And you know, I'm sorry. I like this stuff, man. I like it. You know what I'm saying? It harkens back to, you know, the back in the Bulls and Knicks games and the Bulls and Detroit back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I love that type stuff because that's what I grew up watching, you know, and they was down there wrecking. And, you know, then don't forget the good Boston Celtics. They used to wreck you. You know, I mean, I like that kind of stuff. I'm not too much a fan of the whole Wrecker League style of basketball. I mean, I like it. It's fun to see somebody get dunked on and, you know, somebody come down and shoot trays and stuff like that. But, you know, I like passion and heart. And I want to see two passionate and heartfelt dudes, people, or 12 on 12, fight it out. You know what I mean? I want to see. I like that battle of wills. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to come in the lane. Oh, yes, I am going to come in the lane, and I'm going to put it down your throat. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to give you this chicken wing. Well, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to get – oh, man, I love that stuff because that's real. That is real, man. It's real. It's not fake.
Okay. Well, speaking of running and gunning with some young guns, two guys that I think are extremely rising stars, they are not going to go away quietly into the night. I'm talking about Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs. Two different type of teams. Two different type of teams in offense and defensive wise, and two different type of teams in chronological age. You got young guns in Klay Thompson and Stephon Curry lighting it up from the backcourt side. And then you have Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan trying to hold down these young boys. Stephon Curry had a decent game the first game, and they shouldn't have lost, but they did lose because of their youth going down the stretch. And Stephon Curry in the second game, which the Golden State Warriors by 100-91, he didn't have a decent game, but his backcourt mate said, don't worry, my man, I got you. Scoring 34 points, lighting it up from three, lighting it up all over the place. This is trouble in paradise, or trouble in San Antonio, I should say, trying to deal with these two guys along with the Harrison Barnes and company. And he's a rookie, and he's playing well. Once Mark Jackson, which he got, I think he got third or maybe second in the voting for Coach of the Year, has been doing a hell of a job nurturing these guys and giving them his experience as a player, and instilling a lot of confidence in these guys and no fear. Jeff. And then, Mikal, give me your thoughts on the Golden State versus San Antonio series.
You know, maybe clock is strike to midnight for, a dynasty, San Antonio. I mean, it's so impressive. And in an era where everybody says the big market teams dominate, the big exception to that is San Antonio, with that nucleus of Duncan, Ginobili, Tony Parker, and who knows, they might be looking to rebuild, but they had a great run, not a flashy group, but a talented, hard-working, well-coached group. A lot of respect for those guys. And you guys ever see that movie? I think it is every time the Golden State Warriors play well. You ever see that movie, The Warriors?
Yes.
You're telling your age, sir.
That's a cult movie. Because there's YouTube like that movie. It's all over YouTube and everything. It's
It is.
And I mean, there's people watch that movie, you know, who weren't even born when that came out. And Jerry, I sent you a link. You know, whenever the last time I thought of this was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago when Golden State knocked out Dallas out of the playoffs in the first round when Dallas had that great regular season. Warriors come out to play. And I think now I've always thought that, and I think they actually do play that at the arena in California where they play once in a while.
Okay.
And obviously the Warriors are missing David Lee, and it's just like at this point. It's like, I don't know what to call it, attrition. There's like half of the players in the NBA aren't even playing anymore, like for the teams that are still in it. I mean,
right.
It really is a grind, and that there's so many good players and great players. I mean, Lee is a very good player, but, he's very popular with Knicks fans. He was a bright spot on some very bad Knicks teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. It's just they're not going to shorten the season, but it's a real grind. It's not about who's the best. It's who's got the most bodies, you know. And another former Nick, Nate Robinson, just say what you want. That guy is fearless and he's clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has his best moments in the biggest spotlight. Unreal. And he had, what was his career highlight? It was probably coming off the bench for Boston a few years ago. And now it's deja vu all over again. So give him a lot of credit. One of the great small men of the game.
Your thoughts, my man.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? That Cyrus looks just like The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Man, this playoffs has been a surprise to me. You know, it's giving you everything you want. You know what I'm saying? If you like to fight, you know what I'm saying, you come over here to the East. You know what I'm saying? If you're a basketball purist, you need to be watching every game that the Golden State Warriors play, my man. I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you. Because them
mm-hmm.
boys, I swear, watching both of those games made me want to go out and play basketball, Slim. It made me want to go out and play basketball. Klay Thompson and Stephon Curry, mark this down, and I'm saying it, and there's some other folks saying it, but I'm saying it too here. Those two dudes is the best 1-2 guards that I have seen in a very long, long time. Both of them can get you off the dribble. Both of them can spot up and shoot. They can run it down to the court, you know, in the fast break, pull up anywhere from 15 feet to 30 feet and knock it down. Yo, I like them dudes. I really, really like them dudes. And I think I told you, Jerry, I got a little man crush on Stephon Curry, young. That man can shoot.
I used to follow him a little bit when I used to watch a little college basketball, and he was outrageous in college when he was playing in college ball, and he just carried it right over and took it to another level. So
right, he's been doing this all year, and mm-hmm. I think this is it for San Antonio. And it's not the play that I'm reading the tea leaves from. I'm reading the tea leaves from Popovich. You know what I'm saying? He looks really disturbed. He looked really disturbed.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I've never seen him look so disturbed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time, he quiet. He don't say too much. You know what I'm saying? He may be pissed or whatever, but he don't give you too much, man. He is moving. He is talking. He's saying a whole bunch of stuff. Yo, this is it. This is it for San Antonio. And you know what? That first game really showed Golden State that they could win. And
right.
they came out and did it. I don't think San Antonio – the only way San Antonio will get back in this is if, you know, you live by the jumper, you die by the jumper. If Golden State those jumpers don't fall. But the mm-hmm. thing of it is they setting up those jumpers because they going to the hole. They going to the hole. They are playing fundamental basketball, and they have. There's only one other coach that I think that could coach them, and that's Doc. But the best coach for them is that man. Jackson. Jackson is doing a hell of a job with them dudes. You
sure.
know what I'm saying? He's a god. He's tough. You know what I'm saying? He don't mind. And he can motivate and stroke. Because look at all the years he motivated and stroked Reggie Miller and whatnot. And,
right.
you know, when he was with the Knicks, he wasn't no joke. Man, I like Golden State. I am silently pulling for Golden State to get into the conference finals, Slim. But I'm gonna say it right here. I think they're going. I think they're
okay.
going. I don't think that San Antonio can hang with them. They look old. You know what I'm saying? They went small and they couldn't run with them. They tried to you know get them in the paint. They couldn't hang with that. You got Bogut playing out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I forgot all about that dude, Landry. He's a scorer.
Carl Landry, yes.
I forgot all about him. And then mm-hmm. they got the Bama out. They got Jefferson. Oh, man, come on, man. It's over. Ugh.
Well, let me read you a quote that Greg Popovich said. I thought it was polite of Curry and Thompson to at least take turns and not both be on fire on the same night. Maybe the next iteration will be neither one of them will be hot in game three. That's what I'm hoping. And I got to believe the way Popovich is that he's not joking when he said that. He's not being sarcastic.
No, he ain't joking.
Yeah. Yeah,
he ain't
because
joking.
Yeah. So they don't have
–
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, when I saw Clay had about, he had about 20-some-odd points at halftime, mm-hmm. and I was seeing, I mean, the boy was just, he was coming down on fast breaks, pulling up on threes, buckets. I was like, oh, my God, this boy about to shoot the lights out of these dudes. And
right.
They had nothing for him, nothing. I knew it was over then. It was over. But, you know, you always got to wait for that run from another team. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? In the NBA,
mm-hmm.
another team always going to make a run, you know, under 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Because that's really when the game starts, under 2 minutes, unless they have, you know, a 20-point lead or a 30-point lead already built up. But, oh, my goodness. Them boys, I can't say enough about them. I can't.
Yeah, and the game 3 and 4 are going to be in Golden State, whose crowd is no joke. And you know they're going to be pumped up with a chance for their hometown team to do well, especially at home. And these guys, these young guys, headed by Mark Jackson, are brimming with confidence, without a doubt, that they should have been up 2-0 instead of a tied 1-1 in this series. And it's going to be pretty exciting come, I think they play on, when do they play? God.
They play tomorrow.
They play also play Friday?
Uh-huh. And I don't think anybody's playing tonight.
No, there's no games tonight. So, yeah, they play, no. Yes,
they play
Saturday. Tomorrow night. Yes, they're the late game on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Miami and Chicago at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And then San Antonio and Golden State play at 10:30, also on ESPN. And then you got New York and Indiana playing at 8 o'clock in Indiana. And the last one I wanted to talk about is OKC versus Memphis. Now, I talked, I don't know if you were on the program when we talked on Mac's program on a couple Fridays ago after Russell Westbrook had gotten hurt, and he had posed the question, do you think that the Oklahoma City Thunder can go to the finals, the Western Conference Finals, without Russell Westbrook? And I stated to him emphatically, no. He's their number two scorer. He's their point guard, and he runs the team. And for the most part, he's been there from the get go. He's been running the show from the beginning. And to be put out in the last series, and to have to go up against Memphis in the second. In the semifinals, it's going to be very tough because of the firepower and the defensive prowess of Memphis. I don't think they're going to – I'd be very surprised if they get past Memphis. The Twin Towers, Gasol and – I can't believe I forgot his name already. What's the other guy?
Z-Bo.
Yes.
Z-Bo, Zach Randolph.
Yeah. Zach Randolph, yes. He, those two guys are playing very well together and are tough to handle. And you put in, you mix in with their guards and forwards, I think they got too much, and Oklahoma City doesn't have enough. Your thoughts, Jeff, and then Macau.
Hey, this is the time of year, you know. Good games all the time. But I'll tell you, some people didn't think Oklahoma City would be as good without Harden, and now they're doing it without Westbrook, injured for the first time since he's been playing basketball.
Right.
Just goes to show you how important is the health of the team. What kind of injury did he have? Because, I mean, he's a great player. He's one of these guys, you want to see him healthy for the good of the game, you know, because he's that good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of injury was that? That was
he's got a knee injury. He's got a knee injury that was given to him by
the guard from Houston. Right. Yeah.
And he played on it the rest of that game, but Oklahoma City was just like, you know what, we playing for the long term, so we're going to go ahead and let him sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully he's got an easy recovery. Thing is, it happened so late, it could really, you know, who knows, it could be all in next year if it's serious. You know, depends on how the rehab goes, how the operation goes. But I'll tell you, for Memphis, Gasol looks good. Looks real good. And I remember when they made that trade, when they sent his brother to the Lakers, everybody was saying, like, that was a gift trade. That was a crooked trade. But part of that deal was Memphis getting the rights to the Mark, the brother. And that's why you can't judge a trade right away. So Memphis benefited over the long term. And I think one of the reasons they thought the deal looked crooked was because Jerry West was behind it. I mean, he was president or whatever with Memphis, but he had been with the Lakers for decades. So, you know, Memphis is now looking like a smart team.
Mm. What are your thoughts there, my man, Mikal?
I like Memphis. I like Zach. You know what I'm saying? They play fundamentally under the basket, in the paint. Gasol looks good. You know, but I don't think so. I believe OKC is gonna come through. They're gonna screech through there. They're not gonna. I don't think OKC will get to the finals. They may or may not get to the finals, depending on, you know, who's in there. If the Spurs ultimately get in there. I think that'll be it for OKC. But if Golden State gets in there, there's a chance they'll be in the finals. They'll squeak by somebody like Golden State. They'll just get beat by them old guys down there in San Antonio. And, you know, when they get to the finals, you know, the Heat will be waiting there to put the ratchet on them, and that'll be it. But I really think they really need Westbrook and they need Harden. You know what I'm saying? To be even worthy of looked at as a serious contender to the Heat. I mean, I like the guy Martin or whatever, and he's stepping up, you know, and doing what he has to do. I think that'll be enough to get them to the finals. But I don't know about them winning any finals or. You know, or even beating somebody like San Antonio, but I think they'll scrape with the win away from Memphis. I don't think Memphis is ready. I think they need to learn this. They really need to learn this. I think they've got all the fundamentals down, and they hungry, and they will fight for it. But they got to get a taste of it first. I don't think they're ready yet.
Okay. All right. I think that's all I want to talk about in basketball. Unless anything you guys have that you want to bring up, basketball related, before we move on to something else.
I can't think of nothing right now.
Oh, you know what? One of the things that came up, I think it was yesterday, and you guys know that Jason Collins came out. And came out of the closet and said that he was gay. On the Dan Patrick show, Charles Barkley, I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, was interviewed. And Charles came out and said that that he's played with gay players before and that everybody has played with gay players. I mean, back in the day when he was playing, He stated that everybody on every team or whatever, but everybody was playing with there were gay players. It was it was kept in house and no one said anything about it. But Something that was well known, but not really talked about, only in confidence. You guys got any comments or hear about what I was just saying? Anybody?
You know, it's one of those things. You know, it's that it's 12 guys on an NBA team, but those guys are constantly changing. It's not the same 12 every year and
mm-hmm.
whatever. With that many guys, sooner or later, there's going to be a gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, Charles is one of these guys. He doesn't care what people think. You know, he's secure with himself. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's almost like what he has to say. But
mm-hmm.
you know, he's got guts. You know, and just coincidentally, recently I saw in the news that this is kind of related. Magic Johnson's son came out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And Magic, yep. you know, he stands by his son, which you know, of course, that's his son, and. You know, when Magic, when it came out that he had HIV, this was, you know, a long time ago, right off the bat, everybody was saying he was gay and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, everybody said he was getting it in with Arsenio Hall.
mm-hmm.
And oh, yeah, I mean, some of the stuff, they were saying Isaiah Thomas, you know, it was just nonsense. And he was, you know, one of the first celebrities to come out, and I think, he was probably one of the first who wasn't gay or IV drug user, but, you know, Magic is standing by his son. Gays, you know, there's always been gays, always will be gays. And, you know, and there's, I don't think there's anywhere in society, you know, sports or the military or whatever, where you could just say, oh, there's no gays there, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't know. It's just this, you know. And then I think as you know, as guys get older, I think you become more secure with yourself. It doesn't bother you so much, you know.
Right.
And I think that's human nature. And also, I think since society is slowly progressing, you know, I mean, I can't say, oh, I never made a gay joke or whatever. But I'm not, you know. I went out with a woman. This is a woman, mind you. And all she did was talk about how much she hated gays. And it made me realize, I don't know why, but she hated gays, gay men and gay women. And I remember thinking to myself, doesn't she have anything better to talk about? I mean, it was about, like, when you're with people you're close with, you speak your mind, you know, more so than, you know, the, you know, casual friends, whatever. So I get that. But this was like all she talked about. And it made me realize how lame that is, you know?
Right.
It was like, it was all she talked about was how much she hated gays. I'm just remember thinking to myself, get a life, you know?
Yep. Mikhail, your thoughts? About what Sir Charles said.
There's no doubt in my mind that there's been, you know, a host of athletes that were gay, that were playing football, basketball, baseball. It's just the numbers. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, numbers never lie. You know, there's somebody somewhere that was either hiding it, you know, doing it and whatever. But you know, the players all knew, but you know, they kept it in house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you know the issue isn't you know if the players are playing you know with someone that's gay or the fact that a gay person is playing. I believe that the blowback from that an organization will receive is the problem. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a huge problem, and I don't care what any of those organizations say. None of them wants to have that player on their team. None of them. No, they don't. They don't because it's a headache. It's a headache. You know what I mean? I mean, we could sit here and say how politically correct it is and all that nonsense, yada, 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 but it is a headache. Mm-mm, no. You know, I commend you coming out and doing your thing, but I ain't going to be bothered with that. That's how they going to carry it. That's how they going to carry it. And it is real strange to me, you know, after his career is just about over anyway. I don't even foresee him getting on another team. But that he's coming out, so the whole active thing, No, I got a problem with that. I mean, if he was, we were in the middle of the season while he's still playing, you know, then I would be like, oh, okay, yeah. But he pretty much did this going out the door. And like he said in his little article, I'm securing myself. I can do whatever I want, hint, hint, meaning I don't have to play basketball anymore, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. All right, bro. All right. Do your thing.
Well, okay, Macal, I want you to hold on because I got a caller coming in here from the 202. You know him well. He's been holding on for quite a bit while we've been carrying this conversation
Boo!
On. And I have to bring him in. Welcome, Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. How you doing?
I appreciate that. I don't appreciate my cousin booing me on my own show. That is
Boo! No. Wait a minute. This is my show.
Boo! Jerry!
To be politically correct, since we're talking about that, it is you, Jeff, and Black's show.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So let's be politically correct. Jeff,
okay.
What's yours as well? It's interesting you guys are talking about this. I got off the phone with Sylvia, and we were talking about a particular WNBA star, and she just laid a bomb on me about this one WNBA star that's trying to get on the show. And I had no idea about this individual. I mean, I knew the individual was gay, but I didn't know this particular aspect of this individual. And anyway, when that person comes on, yeah, I think Sylvia's going to talk about him. I mean, talk to them about it. But right now, she's got Marion Jones lined up. She's got the producer from Army Housewives lined up. She's got several other famous folks lined up for her show. But we're talking about Mr. Collins here. I want to bring it to a person that's active in their sport, was called out not too long ago, and you know, claimed that no, they weren't gay or whatever, but it looks more and more like this individual was. I'm talking about Kerry Ruggles of the Arizona
right.
Cardinals.
Yeah, we have talked about this, yeah.
Okay. You know, he's active. He's a defensive player. He's in a contact collision sport where he has to pick a dude up and slam him to the ground, and, you know, it's constant good games going on. If he were to come out and say, you know what, blanket, I am gay, how would he then be received as tackling somebody? Now, I mean, I'm not worried about him being in the locker room, da-da-da-da-da. Is somebody going to want to run over here more, or are they going to try to get away from him because they think when he's tackling him, he's grabbing him by the butt cheeks to slam him? Is that a sexual thing? Or if you think about it, you know, the mindset of some of these idiots that play sports. I mean, I play sports, too. I'm not a Neanderthal, but I play a lot
You're
of Neanderthals.
You're not a Neanderthal?
You know what?
I couldn't tell from this question.
Hey,
yeah.
You can
tell.
Before I hang up, before I meet him. But, you know, the point is, if an individual allows his or her sexual orientation to be publicized, you know, what is it? The acceptance factor that Michael was talking about. Yeah, people will accept it, but is it a headache that they want to deal with? I mean, we said the same thing about Manti Te'o. Who's going to take him on and deal with his mysterious girlfriend? And, you know, he has talent, but is he a top-tier talent? All these other things. You know, San Diego picked him up. You know, there's a lot of things that people in this world need to understand and say, you know what? I might not agree with your lifestyle, I might not agree with what you do, but at the same time, if you can perform, and that's the thing you hear from a lot of athletes, former and current. If you can perform, it won't matter. Here's my question. When you stop being able to perform at that level that you did in the past, will it then become a problem? Well, that's what I'm saying. If a player says, as long as you can perform on the court, it won't make a difference. So what happens if this kid doesn't perform anymore or can't perform to that level anymore? Will it then become, well, you know what, time to get rid of this fag. Time to get rid of this dyke.
No. Because the simple fact is, if he or she has been playing well for a certain amount of time, just like anybody else that's straight playing well for a certain amount of time, when their talent starts to go, their talent starts to go. It has nothing to do with their sexual orientation. It has to do with their talent.
But Jerry, what Vic is saying, if it's a marginal player, you know, if you got a choice between two average players, a straight one and a gay one, they're probably going to choose the straight one. You know.
Correct.
You know,
no matter how much tenure
right,
that guy has.
Right. No, I could definitely see that happening.
Well, I think that's just a time aspect. You know, right now the timing would be very bad. It would be a costly business decision. Costly to take a marginal player. You know what I'm saying? That is very active in the community and very outspoken, and keep him on the roster. When you can, you know, go and find in the seventh round another talent to replace him. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just a headache.
I'm going to bring two things up. And I'll let you guys discuss it and get your feedback on it. Two things. First, since you're on Collins, when Collins came out, you know, that first day, ESPN didn't put, like, a free agency NBA sign behind, logo behind him. They put the Washington Wizards behind him. Why? Because that was the last team he was a part of. He's currently a free agent, but they associated him with the Wizards because that was the last team that he was a part of. So, you know, that association, does that cause the Wizards any harm, help, or anything like that if they don't re-sign him? And then I look at a person like Ian Badesio and Quadi or whatever his name is that was up in Minnesota, the punter, the very good punter that just got cut by Minnesota. And Ian Badesio got cut by Baltimore shortly after the Super Bowl. You know, these are two very outspoken gay activists in the NFL. Now, the punter was a Pro Bowler, but he got cut. I mean, you know, Ian Badesio's been playing in the NFL for quite some time. I played with the Cardinals, and he was with the Ravens, then he went to the Cardinals, and now he's back with the Ravens. And he was a top-notch special teamer. He played decently on defense at linebacker.
Top-notch special teamer?
I didn't say he wasn't a special teamer. I said he was a special teamer. I said he was. He went to the Pro Bowl as a special teamer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at that, but the kicker from Minnesota, you know, he was a Pro Bowler. He was a very good talent. It was his second year coming in, I believe, second year in the league. Still a very good talent. He gets cut for his comments and stuff like that.
He didn't get cut for his comments. It played a factor, but I think it played a small factor than you putting it up to be. You know, you could grab this circumstantial. All this stuff that you're bringing up is all circumstantial.
Okay.
You had number one. I'll start with the punter. The punter, you know, he was due $1 million signing bonus, and if you look at Minnesota's salary roster, that was a hell of a business move. You know what I mean? They cut him, and they bring in a youngin. You know what I'm saying? That they drafted, they don't have to pay that much. They get themselves up under the cap, and to boot, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to. Now I get rid of another headache at the same time. Why should I pay you extra money when you bringing me this type of stuff? I think it's a smaller part of it, but I think in the overall scheme, it was more so about the numbers and the money. Adesio. This dude, while he made the Pro Bowl as a special teamer in the past, you know, he could not start. He ain't start. I mean, how many times do we hear about Suggs being hurt? How many times do we hear about Ray Lewis being hurt? I don't remember Adesio starting. I don't. And the object is not to be, you know, a special teams player, not unless you are a punter, a long snapper, or a kick returner. You know what I'm saying? The object is to get on the field to start. You know what I'm saying? And the type of money that they was paying him, they could go, you know, and draft somebody in the sixth or seventh round, which is what they did, and cut him. You know what I'm saying? So, and I mean, even to, you know, to make room for that enormous salary that they gave Flacco, so it was numbers in business. Numbers in business. You know what I'm saying? Add it as a spice or a sugar or a salt to it was the fact that they was, you know, who they were. You know what I'm saying? And they were going, you know, the teams are going to get backlash from cutting them. And from what I'm seeing, it's looking like the NFL is winning.
Well, I'm going to say this. Remember, Jerick and Jeff, I don't remember if Jeff was there, but a while ago, several months ago, I brought up the issue that the NFL sent the Ravens a harsh letter telling them to get Ian DeGio to shut up about his activism. And there was a, not too shortly after, this year that is, that he ends up gone. You know, so does the NFL put on that front that it's, okay, pro, I'm not going to say pro-gay, but they I don't know how to phrase it, but they support the gay community in front of everybody, but behind closed doors, Roger Goodell and the bigwigs are like, no, we don't want this in our sport. We don't want the attention. You know,
Jerry and
Jeff think about it.
They just didn't. No, the NFL just didn't want that press from it, Vic. It ain't the fact that they, you know, they didn't want gays in it. They just didn't want that press. You don't want to be. You don't want to be that team with that guy right now. That's why I say it's a time thing. Once you get the player in place in whatever city or whatever team that can handle it, then it won't be as much of a problem. But right now, it's a big issue. And back to Adagio, what I can't even pronounce his damn name, but this fool was speaking out, and then the NFL came out against him, you know, and was like, yo, silence him, like you said, because he was going back and forth with a congressman. It wasn't like he was just, you know, spouting off on Twitter. This dude was going up against a congressman. You know what I'm saying? So they was just like, yo, tone it down. The Ravens stood behind him. They stood behind him firmly. Then when they cut him, you know what I'm saying, which was, you know, a sound business move, Adagio didn't went in on the Ravens. So I can't really give him too much credence. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet now. Go ahead, Jeff and Jerry. I'm sorry.
Jeff?
Yeah. I think maybe somebody's got to turn down the speaker. I think we're having a little technical difficulty.
That's me. I'll take it off.
You got to excuse me. I got to get going.
All right, Jeff.
Thank everybody for listening, and hope all you guys are great. Catch you next week.
All right, Jerry.
Hey, Jeff. Before you leave, Sylvia is trying to get a sponsorship for Gatorade and Nike for us. I just wanted to put that out there.
Whoa. Whoa, those are the big boys.
Just
wow,
that out
wouldn't
there.
That be nice? Wow.
Well, good. She's working on it. She has some
connections. Hope it happens.
Me too. So I can finally
That'd
put some
sweet.
Money in y'all's pocket.
Wow.
Hope.
Who would have thought that an interview from Sylvia Crawley Milbury would bring things like this happening? This is wow.
We're moving on up, my friend. All right, take it easy, guys.
Take care,
Jeff.
All
right, Jeff. That way, because Black is dealing with some rough stuff, so I'm extremely motivated to make sure that kid. He can get some extra income coming in. So hopefully Sylvia can pull this off. And I'm going to do my part, you know, so everybody can get paid. Speaking of getting paid, we don't get paid, Jay. We don't get paid.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, We got about 10 seconds. About 10 seconds left in the show. We're going to be going on overtime. I want to thank everyone for listening. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'll be back here along with Jeff and hopefully Black the Bookie, and we'll be talking fantasy sports and politics. We're in overtime now. And there's one more thing I wanted to talk about and has to do with what's taking place. Two things, basically, because two things came up. One of them doesn't make any sense to me, but it's a longstanding tradition in baseball that they're it's a good old boy network and they don't move to the current times like everyone else. Last night or yesterday, the Oakland A's were playing who were they playing?
I forget. I'm out here, but I know they lost.
Yes, they were playing. I think they were playing the Cleveland Indians, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. I think they're playing the Cleveland Indians. Anyway, guy steps up to the plate, hits a ball out in the outfield. It hits the what's obvious to a lot of people, including the announcers of both the Cleveland Indians and the Oakland A's, where it hit. And it was a home run. The ump stopped the player that hit the ball on second base, and timeout, video review, because they're allowed to do a video review, video replay of it. Did a video replay of it, and still came back and said it was a double and not a home run. And the Oakland A's eventually lost this game. And he missed a game-tying home run even after the replay. Joe Torre released a statement in wake of last night's game and admits that the crew blew the call, but he also tries to justify the mistake by saying perfection is an impossible standard in any endeavor, and mistakes and bad judgments will happen, and that's okay, but what can happen is a situation in which the fans at home are better suited to make the call than the umpires on the field. This is his statement. Now, let me read you to his statement. By rule, the decision to reverse a call by use of instant replay is at the sole discretion of the crew chief. In the opinion of Angel Hernandez, and from what I understand, he's one of the worst umpires in baseball, who was last night's crew chief, there was not clear and convincing evidence to overturn the decision on the field. It was a judgment call, and as such, it stands as final. Home and away broadcast feeds are available for all uses of instant replay, and they were available to the crew last night. Given what we saw, we recognize that an improper call was made. Perfection is an impossible standard in any endeavor, but our goal is always to get the calls right. Earlier this morning, we began the process of speaking with the crew to thoroughly review all the circumstances surrounding last night's decision. Now, I listened to Michael Kay on a local ESPN, not local, but an ESPN radio broadcast, and he had a very good point. Now, if you go to instant replay on a home run, it's not a judgment call anymore. You're relying on instant replay to get the call right. So the judgment call thing is BS. Your thoughts, Vic, and then Macau.
Well, it's two things. Baseball is so staunch, as you said, in their resistance to change that they don't want to slow the game down, and they feel as though that the refs or the umps of vision to be the sole standard for what the decision is. Now, if you're using instant replay, as you said, and Michael Kay said, you're no longer relying on that ref. You're relying on the technology that is now available to you to
right.
help you make a decision. Is it something that happens frequently? Unfortunately, it does. Like Joe Torre, he has to do the company line now.
Yeah,
you
know,
as a manager, he probably would totally disagree with what he just wrote.
Right.
But because he's a member of the MLB, I guess, staff now, he has to comply to what it is they're talking about. I would say this. If you're going to open it up to instant replay for home runs or plays at the plate, I think plays at the plate happen in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, then it should go to an official, not there. Meaning, like NFL, they have their official upstairs that says, okay, well, you know what? This is what happened, so we don't find it conclusive, or we find it conclusive, so this is the correct call. Take it out of the ump's hands. If he can't see it clearly, but the instant replay shows it clearly, put in that that replay official's hand, and then let them take the blame for the blown call, not the ump, because that ump is going to get hounded all game long, the entire game. So that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This stuff is just silly. It's just silly. I mean, because I was looking at it, it's clearly right there on that video that ball, that was a home run. It had it not hit that pole that was not part of the fence, that ball was gone. So it should have been a home run. So and if I could sit here, you know, 30 feet from my TV screen and see that, I don't understand why they couldn't see it. But
right.
You know, that's the MLB, man. That's the MLB. Them boy, they can run that game the way they want to. So, you know, that's all I got on that. I don't know when they're going to come into the 21st century. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to bring up is, as you guys know, if you watch or been watching baseball or heard about baseball, Jay Happ got hit, got creamed in the head, fractured part of his skull near his ear because of the ball hit by Desmond Jennings.
Mm.
What I wanted to talk about is not that, because you got guys throwing harder to batters who are stronger, and they're hitting the ball even faster, coming back wherever it's coming back to, especially through the middle where the pitcher is. Now there's talk that pitchers should be wearing pitcher helmets. Anybody got any thoughts on what do you think about the idea? And it seems like they made Major League Baseball coincidentally met with a company looking to create some type of protective headgear for pitchers yesterday morning. Your thoughts, McCallum and Vic?
I don't know, man. They should have been had some kind of protective gear for them. I don't know what baseball is doing. I really don't. I have no clue. Baseball is, you know, I love playing baseball. I've always, because I've always been real athletic, and I really liked playing baseball when I was younger. But, you know, but the whole politics to the MLB, I just don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it, and I don't even try to get it. I don't even try to get it. But they should have been had some type of protective gear for them for pitchers, and I mean, because you can see it, there's been time and time again when pitchers have gotten hurt on different things, and also, you know, and then just watching the pitchers throwing the ball right there, and you know, and being able to hit, you know, somebody on the shoulder and stuff is not something. It's not something to sneeze at neither. You know, that's been going on forever, and they haven't figured that out. They haven't even tried to figure that out. You know, they too busy sitting up here talking about should the pitchers be able to use sunscreen and all this kind of carrying on. Man, I got nothing on them fools, man.
Okay.
Well, I got this. I think that the ability to put a helmet on a pitcher's head will do several things. One, it'll skew his vision just a little. Two, it may or may not cut down on some of these pitchers getting called. I think it was Buckholz. Said he was cheating. He had something on his arm or he had something on his hat or something like that. It'll cut down on that. However, I look at it this way. A catcher can wear a mask and still do his job. Why can't a pitcher do the same thing? I think it's safer if he has a mask on of some sort because helmet of some sort, because this is like, the third pitcher to get hit in the head within the past 4 years or something like that?
Yes.
Not saying that it's so frequent, but, you know, with the balls coming so fast because pitchers throw harder, batters hit harder, the reaction time of some of these pitchers isn't going to be the same. Like Jamie Moyer, he's like 47 years old. Not saying his reflexes are worse than mine, but they're slower than mine. You know, I'll be 37 next Saturday. He's got me by 10 years. So a 10-year difference really does make a difference. Put a helmet on these guys, protect them, and do it that way. It reminds me of somebody I met this week. You might know this guy, Jerry. Eddie Kidd, Oakland Raider running back. Ever heard of
Eddie
him?
Eddie who?
Eddie Kidd.
Eddie Kidd, no, never heard of him.
Okay, he was over a Raider running back for about 3 years, between 91 and 93. He now works at where I am. And, you know, we were just talking about some pitches because he knows my coach that I used to coach with when I was in Germany. And we were talking about, like, the neck rolls and the pads that they used to wear back, like, in the 70s and 80s. Compared
right.
to the equipment that are worn today. You know, it's all designed to help you. It's all designed to help you. Technology helps make it better. It helps make that protection a little bit better. Put a helmet on the pitchers. That's all I got on it. Put a helmet on.
All right. And I got one thing to say. One other thing to say. I don't know if you guys heard of Charles Ramsey, but Charles Ramsey, you need to clean your act up before you go on TV, my man. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. We've been,
talking
about him all week on Crow. So this gentleman, and unfortunately, we've been talking about him, you know, for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys saw it. There's an article on the Smoking Gun saying that he has been convicted of beating his wife like
right.
two or three times.
Right.
And you know she went on. She you know they quoted her going on talking about you know, the things that he did to her and that he didn't pay his child support, even though it was something like $51 a month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole take on it was, and I went, and you know, I went at probably about 40 or 50 women. You
mm-hmm.
know, I don't care. I said that, you know, this is just a typical woman scorn type of thing. You know, the gentleman, even though the gentleman, you know, what he did in his past was messed up or whatever, still, he saved these girls. You know, he still went into action, saved these girls, and he needed to get his 15 minutes. Give this man his 15 minutes. But, you know, you couldn't have him have his 15 minutes. We just had to hear from the Smoking Gun and his ex-wife that even though he was a hero for taking action on this joint, but in reality, he ain't shit. That's what the message was. And, you know, well, she even, this woman even put up pictures of him, you know, when he was younger. You know what I'm saying? And there was some you know, good pictures of him. But the message was, hey, look, I'm embarrassed by him. He looked crazy as shit or whatever. But, you know, this is how he looked when I got with him. You know, typical. It's typical in the streets.
I understand what you're saying. What I was saying is this, not relating to any of his past, anything that he, any kind of issues that he had in his past. I'm talking about when the reporter interviewed him on TV after the incident first happened. My man looked like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. He looked, and I understand. I got to get him props, because of what he did, but he came off on TV, not in the best light. If you understand what I'm saying.
Looking like Tyrone Biggums.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but the thing is, he is he was in his natural element. He wasn't dressed or changing his outfit to do an interview. You know, he just helped the kids see. And now there's the controversy, was it him or the Spanish guy that couldn't speak any English? You know, that's a new controversy. Was it the Spanish guy or was it him? So
They even asked the guy, I don't know if he was the police chief or who he was, the lead detective. He said, are these American citizens? And he was like, I don't know. I was like,
exactly.
Whoa, really?
Exactly.
You don't know,
exactly.
Slim? The dude just got off the microphone saying, you know, they was Puerto Ricans, and this is not indicative of the Puerto Rican people, and you don't know if he's an American or not. Oh, man, I was cracking up laughing. I was crying laughing.
Well, the guy, the appearance of the guy is it looks better because he went on another program, and he looked like he was clean shaven. My wife was looking at it last night. He looked like he was, you know, a clean cut American or whatever. I understand what Jerry's saying as far as his looks. Hold on for a second. But the bottom line is, you know, he could have, like, put his hair in a ponytail and put his hat on or something like that, but he looked like he had his perm in his head and looked like he ain't took a bath in a little bit. And that Big Mac, McDonald's going to hook him up with some money, I guess. But that Big Mac probably was playing with his system, and that's why he kept fidgeting. I'm not saying he done hit something. I'm just saying he looked like Tyrone Biggums. That's all.
Hey, he knew something was wrong when that white woman ran into his black man's arms.
Hey, well, we gotta go to the next. We gotta go to commercial break. I think that's what the guy did. But let me get off of here, guys. I gotta go.
Anyway, I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank Macau for calling in. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when you'll be coming in. On the FSP Cruise Show. Tune in tomorrow, where it'll be me, along with Mac Williams on the No Chaser. On Saturday, and at 7 p.m. on Friday. On Saturday, Vic is in the house with the FSP Show, along with myself at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Sunday, it's all me. The Master Plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where it's going to be at. And our new person that's going to be on air new addition to the family. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. It will be the name of the show is called Time Out with Sylvia Crawley Milbury. Tune in on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be calling in and adding my support to Mrs. Milbury. I hope you all that are listening, including my two host co-host right now, calling in and talk to Sylvia.
I'll be co-hosting
okay.
that show.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to having Mrs. Milbury, I should say, as a an addition to the family, and a welcome addition at that. With that being said, since I do it on Vic's show and he happens to be on my show right now,
not yours.
I host the show with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. Okay.
Yeah.
With that being said, Mr. Vic Gardner,
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to a very great program with JTATM Money, myself, Mike, and stick around, stay around.
You still fucked it up.
Why you got curse on my shows, man?
Hey, why you got mess up my name?
Just
Jay
go,
Joe.
Man. Just
Jay go. Cousin, you my blood, and you just keep doing
this. Yeah. It's Mr. Anka. Fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew, Fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah. Log on.